six and a whole bunch of damn numbers. I think I'm ready now. I can blast off now. I'm getting to be expert at this dumb thing. Hello, everybody, and hello, little Carl. How are you? I just got some of my bills from my fingers, what I chopped up in the shop. And believe it or not, I first went to one Japanese doctor, Kumagai. And he wanted $15 to say hello and goodbye and give me a shot, which all I got out of that, I puked in the bag on the way to the other hospital. Boy, it's wild. Told Pappy the other day on the phone that something was superb. Well, boy, I had a superb. Then went 40 miles into another guy. And you know what I had? I had about six doctors. Look at them dumb fingers. And I run into another chink. And I got a bill from the Medicare this morning from Dr. Lawrence Chung Chang Chung. So what I had a, this is wild. I had a laceration, a dorsum of the third, fourth, fifth fingers and the little toe.
No.
And then the man said what he'd give me was a cleaned and debrided and a strip trees, or I mean a steri-strip, and a dressed and a splendid, and then he sent me home on two crutches.
No.
Boy, oh, this is awful. But anyhow, the fingers is coming along pretty good, and if I'm going to see a couple of more chinks tomorrow and get it all finished, I hope. Got me in another country. She said it wasn't a chink, it was a dum-dum from Missouri. Oh, he was a beautiful guy, Mr. Dr. Duff from Missouri. Yeah, I'm going to the Ozarks as soon as my fingers get better. Ask Eric how his 103 temperature is. That's what Mother told me to say. I hope it's down to 13 now, or I mean 93 or something. Yeah, and tell little Alice to stay away from the bugs. I don't know what bugs she means. Just tell her to go to the Scots without the bugs. How about that, huh?
Grandpa's all wet about all these this doctor stuff. This Dr. Kumagai is our doctor that's up here in Camas. It's the only doctor around the country. Oh, there's one over at Heber. But Sylvia called him on the phone, and he was just ready to go to his lunch, but he said he'd wait. So as soon as we got in there, here he had two other people, and Grandpa had to wait a while. Grandpa got kind of white and sweaty, and I thought, well, he's going to fall off the chair onto the floor. And then finally, the doctor came and looked at it. And in the meantime, I had said to the doctor, I think maybe I better take him into town, because I had a feeling the blade might have gone right into the bone and probably cut the tendons. So the doctor had the nurse tie it up and give him a shot of Demerol for pain, and we headed for Salt Lake. And this was the first time I've driven into Salt Lake with a Polara. And you know, you put your foot on that accelerator, and the first thing you know, you're going 65. But with that steering, I was a little afraid to go fast because I can't control the car and go that fast. So I was going around 45 and 50. And every once in a while, Sylvia's yelling from the bathroom, 30. But I really was Sylvia. I was going around about 45. But Grandpa says, can't you go a little faster? I said, not stay on the road. I might go down over the canyon. Well, anyhow, we got into, it was the emergency at the University Hospital. Of course, that's why all the doctors, that's a research hospital, and they have people running around in white pants, white coats, white suits, all over the place like mosquitoes, and you never know who's who. And of course, everybody had to take a little peek at Daddy's fingers to see what was going on. And his head began to swim because he didn't know who and why there was so many doctors looking at him. But they were all getting experience and some know-how. And within one of the 1 hours that Grandpa was in there, there was five altogether, including Grandpa, with lacerated hands. Two came in from the ski areas, had lacerated their hands. I don't know how. The one real bad one was a young man that was working right there in the university. He got cut on some glass, and his hand was really bad. But that's why Grandpa had all these doctors, and there weren't any of them chinks, really. The one that he gave you the name was the one that headed up emergency, and he just walked by and took a squint at Daddy, that was all.
Well, howdy, this is Sylvia. When Pappy was talking to you, forgot to say what day it is. This is Tuesday the 19th. I was out there in the shop with Daddy. I'm going to try and tell you just what happened out there to start all this whole shebang. We were working on a bedpost. One of the ladies of the church had broken this bedpost, and we were trying to make the slot that holds the bed rail. And just a few minutes before this happened, Daddy had told me that you shouldn't push a piece of wood backwards against the blade of the table saw, or it'll jerk and jump out of your hand. And I had been standing in front of the saw, and I stepped around to the side. He says, well, I'm going to just get a good grip on this piece of wood and just run it backwards a little bit to save time. And then all of a sudden, pow, that wood just shot clear across the shop. And if I'd been standing where I was a moment ago, it would have hit me right in the middle. It'd probably knocked me down if it would have hit me. And I looked over at Daddy, and he was holding his left hand with his right hand, and he said, get that towel that's laying over there on the shelf. And I looked at his hand, and it was all bloody. And I said, oh my God. I got the towel and wrapped it around his hand and brought him up to the house. Well, Grandma took the old towel off and wrapped it up in some clean handkerchiefs. I called the doctor. And right here was just about a miracle, because usually our phone is so wacky that you have to try and call someone 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 8 times before you actually get through to them. And I dialed the doctor's number and got him on the very first try, which was really a blessing. And he said that he'd look at him as soon as she got him in, which is about 3 miles from the house. Alice, Kurt, and Matt, we got your lovely Valentines too. And right now it's snowing out. It's just a real fine snow, little tiny flakes, but it's the kind that's slow and steady, like the tortoise and the hare. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. Doesn't look like much out the window. There's no big fluffy flakes, but it's the kind that adds up half inch by half inch by inch by 2 inches, bunches after a while. Mother says the valley's supposed to get 4 inches today, and we usually get a lot more than the valley, so no telling how much we'll have by nighttime. Yesterday, about 2 o'clock, we heard Heidi barking out in the yard. And of course, we always go look to see what she's barking at or who she's barking at. And there's this great big old truck, about the size of the milkman's truck that comes by. And it stopped in front of our garage. And Heidi was just barking and barking, turn up Ned. So we called her inside, and Daddy went out in the front porch. And I looked out the window to see what's going on out there. And there was these 3 young men. Oh, I'd say maybe in their 20s. And they all had long hair. And Daddy asked them what they wanted. And they says, oh, we're looking for antiques. They'd seen our sign out front. And Daddy asked him, well, what kind of antiques did you have in mind? He says, there's all kinds of furniture and glass and china and big things and nothing. He said, what did you have in mind? And he says, oh, anything we get a good deal on. And he says, well, I've got a table in the house here. It's just from the Civil War. It's worth about $275. If you're interested in that, well, he just turned around and walked out through the gate. Daddy came in the house and told Mother and I, he says, boy, they were a crummy looking bunch. And they probably didn't have $2 among them. And we were all just glad that Heidi was there, because, boy, she was really barking and being fierce, you know. And so a little while after they left, Daddy says, I'm going to look, go in the cupboard and get out my 22 and make sure it's in good working condition in case characters like that come back around again. The other day, Grandma and I went into Salt Lake to what they call the Foodorama. And they have it in their big exhibit hall downtown. And I've heard of them before. Bertie had gone to a couple of them in Milwaukee, and they were really terrific when she went to them. They had all kind of displays about food and samples of food, and maybe fried chicken and fried shrimp and bacon, all kind of samples that the people could eat as they walked in the display. Mom and I were really looking forward to this Foodorama here in Salt Lake. But, oh, brother, were we ever disappointed. It was a big jip. First of all, of course, we had to pay in the parking lot to park the car. Then we had to pay $1.50 to get in. But we're still looking forward to some good samples and all these goody things to eat. Well, we forgot that we were in dumb old Utah, which is full of dumb old Mormons, and they had dumb old displays. And 90% of everything was about food storage. That's the big thing around here. We call it hoarding, but they call it storage. And it's about packaging food and freezing food and ways to keep food for 2 years. And it's real dumb. And we kept looking for all these samples of goody things to eat. And so finally we found one little booth that had some turkey, what they called turkey sausages. Well, a sausage made out of turkey instead of pork. And we had a little tiny nibble of that. And then we went by a whole bunch more of storage booths and container boxes and all this glop and stuff. And starving to death because we didn't eat much breakfast because we were counting all the goodies we were going to eat there. And we came to another booth that had cheese. And that was really delicious. They had 4 different flavors of cheese. And we went through and tasted all the goodies. And after we walked through the whole exhibit, I said, I'm going to go back to that cheese booth again and get my money's worth. So I kept going through the cheese line so I'd get some cheese. But we were really disappointed. And we thought we'd stay there. I mean, what we had in mind was a couple hours when we left home. And we had a hard time staying an hour to put up with all our junk. So finally we said, well, we're starving. We're going to go out and get to some restaurant and get something to eat. So we went, drove out to our old favorite, the Trolley Mall, where we have all the nice little stores and restaurants and things. And we went to our favorite restaurant there, and we went in, sat down, and made our order, and we were just sitting there talking about how bad we felt about our big jip, and we heard a little voice say, Mother, Mother, and we were looking around, Mama looked around, I looked around, Mother, and we looked across the aisle, and there was Danny sitting there, and we were so surprised. So we had, Mother and I had a little tiny table for two, and Diane had another little tiny table for one. So we went across and sat in a booth. We just picked up all our dishes and went in a booth together. Of course, the clerk thought we were kind of off our rockers walking around with our dishes. But anyway, the three of us got together in the booth. And we were talking about what a coincidence it was that she was there and we were there. And we told her about the Foodorama and how disappointed we were in it. And she had been downtown to see the doctor about her toe. She has a ingrown toenail. Of course, Carrie knows what that's like. Yeah, well, Mother reminded me it was from a horse stepping on her foot that started it. Quite some time ago, some big old horse stepped on her toe and pulled the end of her toenail off. And when the new nail started growing in, then that started growing in crooked, and that's what gave her a bunch of trouble. But anyway, she'd been to the doctor that day to see about that. And that's how we happened to meet her in the restaurant. Well, while Mother and I were out bumming around, we decided we'll go over to the Salvation Army place and see if they had anything interesting there. So we drove over. It was way in the west side of town, but we finally found it. And we were looking around in there, and Mother found a copper, jello mold. Diane has been collecting them. And it was a ring, and quite a large ring, and it had fruit designs in it, real pretty. And so she got that for Diane. And I was looking around, numbing around, I spied an owl on a shelf. Of course, you know I like anything that resembles an owl. I had to go and look, see what it was. And I picked it up, and it was quite heavy. It turned out to be wrought iron. It's an incense burner. His head is on a little hinge, and you lift up his head and put your incense in, and you close him up, and the smoke comes out his eyes. It's real wild. But anyway, it was real dirty and cruddy, and I thought, oh, I wonder how much you're asking for this. And I turned it upside down. Here's this little sticker on the bottom. It says 25 cents. I said, oh, wow, I'm going to latch onto this owl for 25 cents. So I got it and brought it home and cleaned it up. And someone down through the years had put gold paint on them, and somebody else had put some green paint on them. But I scrubbed them up, got them clean, and I took them out to the shop, and I sprayed them with black paint. And then just a little bit of copper I sprayed on them, too. He looks real great. He's about 5 inches high. He's a pretty good size. But anyway, I've got him sitting on my desk now, and I wouldn't take less than $7 for him. He's sitting there staring at me.
Howdy. This is Thursday, February the 21st. And I want to tell you about an experience I had last night. Well, first of all, it was about 11 o'clock, I went to bed, and Heidi was outside, I guess, at the time. But anyway, I went to bed and went to sleep, and about 5 minutes to 5, I heard scratch, scratch at the kitchen door. I went and met Heidi, and I was more asleep than I was awake. Boy, I went back to bed and fell asleep again. And just within 20 minutes, I woke up with a start. There was something crawling on my arm, my left arm. Well, first I flung back the covers, and I brushed my hand against my arm to get whatever it was off it. And I reached up to a light above my bed and turned it on. Looked around to see what it was. I heard something flying around, hitting against the wall. And I saw it there, and I was going to hit it. And I reached over my bedstand I grabbed hold of a little leaflet that we get from Sunday school. And I thought, oh, that's too small. I'm going to swing at it and miss it. So I'm going to get my slipper, and I reached down and got my slipper. And I got inside the lampshade, and I could hear it flutter, and get inside the lampshade. And I couldn't hit it in there, so I was going to wait till it was out in the room, and I hit it. And then finally flew out and went the lampshade. I got a swat with my slipper, and it fell down behind the head of the bed, and I looked down there, and there it was on the floor. And it was a fly.
Oh, well, I'm getting told off here because I'm monkeying around with the buttons. And I pushed them a while ago while we were eating breakfast, and I thought I'd do some caping. And so we went to run it back, and nothing, just plain zero. Anyway, this is March the 15th, and that means we're pretty well over March. It sure came in like a line. It blew, and it blew, and it blew over telephone poles and uprooted trees, blew over campers. I cut some of the articles out of the newspaper, but I haven't even mailed them yet, which takes me a long time getting around to getting anything in the mail, as you already know. And let's see, I went into work the night of the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And in the meantime, I thought maybe I'd have to hurry this up, but I just looked at Pappy, and he's got whiskers all over his face because he's got to shave yet, and you know what that means. That takes a long, long time. And we're going into Salt Lake. Sylvie has been out of the boondocks for about a month, and pick up a carpet that I had put some money on at Deseret, and then Pappy paid the rest, but we've never been able to take the truck in to go in to pick it up. So if they've still got it, well, we'll bring it home. But I went in the night of the 6th, and because the night nurse had the mumps. She's never had them before, and so she had them on both sides, and she really was scared to death because she couldn't swallow. And I called out home around just after I went on duty 11 those three nights, 11 to 7. So I came out, called home around 10, I guess, and Pappy said, well, I got some news to tell you. I got a telephone call from Diane, and they're supposed to take little Kay, the little mare that we bought Diane, which she didn't keep. She turned over into Shaw Wen, which made us feel very badly because that was to be her own personal little horse. But anyhow, they were going to take her up to Wendy's, and Diane Howard's going to take her up the later part of this month. Well, they decided then they'd do a hurry-up job and take her then. But Diane couldn't go because she was hostess for her music teacher's group on Thursday night. And then she was supposed to do something, and they're on some kind of a committee, personnel committee for the Arabian Horse Club, and Diane had to do something for that Saturday night. So Pappy went along, and Howard came up, but he missed the turnoff and went into Heber, and then had to come back and come up to Camas and pick up, I don't say Francis, because I don't like that name, Francis. And no, nobody in the whole world knows where Francis is except the people that live here. I don't know where they found that funny name. I guess they ran out and they just picked that one up. So they left about 4:30, and then Sylvie and Heidi held the camp here while Pappy was gone. And Pappy thought they'd come back Sunday, get back in here Sunday night, but anyway, they didn't. Ginny and Shannon came to Lusk to see Wendy and the ranch up there Saturday. They got in late Saturday evening, so then they stayed over Sunday. And they went out to see this Dr. Munson's ranch. He's the veterinarian for up in that area around Wyoming, and well, I guess he's known all over the United States. And he thinks there's just nobody like Wendy. And he maybe, if Wendy wants to, he says he's going to let her show his prize stallion. But he says it's up to Wendy if she wants to. And so then Ginny and Shannon, Pappy, Howard, and Wendy went to the ranch. 6,000 acres. And in one pasture, Grandpa said, how many mares did he say, Sylvia? 27? Something. How many mares in that pasture, Dr. Munson's?
About 26
or 27. Oh, he said, they were the most beautiful things you ever laid eyes on. And he didn't say how many other horses he had, but these are all very expensive horses. So then they started back here Monday morning, and Grandpa called, around 9 o'clock, and said they were having breakfast in Casper, Wyoming. And they pulled in here about 7 o'clock then that night. And I called Diane, or tried to call her, and tell her that Howard was on his way. And she said, well, when I finally got her, she said she was awfully glad because one of their little colts that they call Peanuts. I don't know what's Arabian name. They've got nicknames for everything, so we've kind of bypassed the Arabian names. But here, in the meantime, she'd been talking to you, Carolyn, and then you had told her about Eric, which I didn't know until later. And somehow I felt that I should, I kept thinking about Eric and that flu, and everybody just seems to be down with it, hither, thither, and yon. So then I called you, I think Monday night, and then you told me. So now we got good news last night that Eric's, that you, Eric, is perking right along, and we have a pipe dream that you might come out and visit us out here in the mountains. Right now, we have still a lot of snow. The mountains are all white. It's beginning to melt around the edges. Some of our front lawns melted off. I looked out this morning and I said, well, we better start digging some flower beds. Not many people have flowers up here. I don't know why, whether it's too much bother or they're not interested. Or they. We had real good luck with our snapdragons last year, so I want to get some radiola bulbs and get them in as soon as we can. We'll send to Iowa for them. We got a seed catalog here the other day. Well, excuse me, I still got some of that bug in my throat. And we'll try and get this off in the mail. Oh yes, by the way, when I started to talk, Diane had called before Pappy left and said, now whatever you do, put in the tape recorder so you can have Ginny and Shannon on it and from the ranch out there. And when I walks in, which was Saturday morning about 9 o'clock, ooh, was it foggy that morning. Coming up from Salt Lake, I started out just fine, and I just hit this wall of fog, and I didn't think I was going to make it. Of course, that's me, you know, I have to exaggerate. But anyhow, I walks in, and on the dining room table is the tape recorder, and I said, oh, no. Neither Sylvia nor Pappy thought of it. And, of course, we're slipping up here. We forget to turn the tea kettle off. We forget to turn the heater down. So, and when we go away, we forget to turn the light on, so there'll be a light burning outside when we come back. So we're really getting worse by the minute. But so Pappy said when he was up at Kilmer's, up at the ranch, that Ginny had brought her mouth organ. Of course, Wendy plays real well, and I guess they had quite a concert between the two of them, and we felt real badly, pardon me, about not getting them on the tape. So I don't know how much I've run off of this and how much I've made a mistake, but here we go. I'll have to tell you about the dish of chocolates that Pappy keeps on the head of the bed. For some reason or other, he gets these milk chocolates and breaks them up in little squares and puts them in a dish on the head of the bed. Only, oh, several months back, the mice beat him to it and ate some of his chocolates. But when he gets up in the night and then comes back to bed, well, he chomps on a chocolate. So I said, well, I'm going to hide the tape recorder under the pillow and tape Pappy chomping his chocolates in the middle of the night. But anyhow, and Sylvie, she backfires right at me. Well, we'll put the recorder under there and get a tape of you snoring. So I shut up. I didn't have anything more to say.
Hello, this is Aunt Sylvia. And it's still Friday the 15th. Of March. I'm going to try and finish up this tape. I see it's getting down toward the tail end here. And I was going to tell you what I've been doing lately. I've been painting some more little animals. I've got two pieces of wood that are oval shaped. They're about 5 inches wide, about 9 inches high. And on one, it's an old tree. And in this hollow of the tree is a raccoon. And on the branch of the tree is a little gray squirrel, and they're looking at each other. And in the other picture, there's two little field mice eating blueberries. And they're underneath some yellow flowers. And I've just about finished them. And then I'm going to start painting on a picture that we ran across in one of the Arizona magazines. Usually they have pictures of, you know, scenery and Indians and things like that, but right in the middle of this magazine was this great big painting of a cowboy. It's called The Cowboy's Dream. And he's laying on his back, sleeping, but up in the clouds you can see this shape of a woman on a horse, and the cowboy's dreaming about this woman. So I'm going to try and copy that and make a big painting of it. Well, you know that Grandpa's been going to the dentist off and on lately, and the card that the dentist uses for appointments, instead of just plain old square card like everybody else uses, is a cute little tooth-shaped card, and on one side has a little smiley face, and on the other side it has, you know, your date and time and appointment time. And we all thought those little cards were so cute. So one time that Daddy was in there getting his teeth worked on, he said, asked the girl at the desk, he says, now keep it a secret and don't tell anybody else, just between you and me, but give me a couple of those appointment cards and I'm going to take them to my shop and make something special. So she gave Daddy a couple of those little cards and he brought them home. And he and I went back to the shop, and what he was going to do was take a piece of wood, oh, it's about an inch thick,